in the New Testament, who writes the most in the New Testament? Somebody said Paul. Somebody said Luke. Okay, so who writes the most? Well, Paul writes most books. Yeah? John. Alright, so here we have a third person in the mixture. Alright, so we see John writes a lot. We see John in the book of John, right? Then 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. And then the book of Revelation, right? So that's a lot. Now, when you look at, you know, many people think a lot about Paul and Luke, so I'm glad someone mentioned John. You see, in the New Testament, we see that Paul writes the most books. But volume-wise, actually, even Luke writes more than Paul volume-wise. Because the book of Luke has 24 chapters, and the book of Acts, which was written by Luke, has 28 chapters. Now, Paul writes a lot of little books, but cannot be compared in volume to what Luke has written in the book of Luke and in the book of Acts. And obviously, John writes small books as well, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, the book of John itself, but Revelation has a little bit more chapter, and so John is closer to Luke. So today, our topic, the empowered life. And this is actually a series that I'll be working through at this church. I'll be going through this some and looking at some of the important things that God has given to us from the book of Luke. Now, Luke has written more than any of the other gospel writers, has focused much more than John or Matthew or Mark on the prayer life of Jesus. Have you noticed that in your reading? When you read through the Gospels, you will see that Luke is the one that has focused so much more on the prayer life of Jesus. This is very interesting. So through the Gospels, you see Luke focusing a whole lot on the prayer life of Jesus. And also when you go to the book of Acts, you will also see that Luke focuses on a lot on how the disciples were a praying, of the early church was a praying church. The disciples, the early church, was bathed in prayer. So there's something about Dr. Luke that got his attention as it relates to prayer. And I'd like to spend some time looking at that this morning. The empowered life, prayer. And this is what I'll be working through for some weeks here at our church, looking at the four pillars of the Christian life. So pillar number one, we have it, that is prayer. Number two, study or Bible study or study of inspiration. Number three, witness or testimony, being a testimony. And then number four is praise. Praise. That's a part of our lives that sometimes we neglect. We neglect the aspect of praise. We easily Satan tempts us to complain, to worry, and to see the other things, but not focusing on praising God from whom all blessings flow. And so we'll be spending some time on that. But today, we're going to focus on the first pillar, which is prayer. So, as you look through or study the sanctuary theme, you will see the aspects of what I just mentioned. For example, we look over on this side, we see the importance of studying of the Word, which is represented in the sanctuary as the shewbread, table of shewbread, with the bread representing the Word of God. So that is clearly outlined in the sanctuary theme, the table of shewbread. Now, you come over here in the middle, just up front, before you go into the most holy place. This is in the holy place. We have the altar of, what do we call it? Incense, that's right. And so this is in a representation of the prayer of the saints going up to God. And then we come over here, we look at the seven bronze or golden candlestick, and this is a representation of light, right? Light, or witness, if you want to use the word that I put on the pillars there. Witness. Jesus says, let your light so shine that man may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we see the study of the Word, we see the life of prayer, and then we also see the witness or sharing what you have. And when all of this, as we study, as we pray, as we be a witness, our lives become a life of praise. We are praising God and not a complaining people, but rather a people that praises God. Amen? And so we'll be working our way through a lot of this, but today we want to look at the pillar. We want to look at the foundation of all of this, and that is prayer. And we're going to study a little bit the life of Jesus. We're going to spend some time to look at the prayer life of Jesus. I love this quote very much. Steps of Christ, page 98. It says, "It is impossible for the soul to flourish while prayer is neglected." Now, do you want your soul to flourish? Would you like your spiritual walk to just flourish with God? It is saying to us this morning, it is impossible for us to experience that flourishing if prayer is neglected. So in other words, prayer is so important for the flourishing of the soul. Look with me in the Bible, in Luke chapter 2, our scripture reading. Actually, we read a little bit in Luke chapter 3 and verses 22, 23. That was supposed to be 21 and 22. So it says, when all the people, Luke chapter 3, look with me, 21 and 22. It says, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, notice, while he prayed, the heaven was open, or heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This is Jesus at his baptism, and we see that he didn't neglect right away. Notice in verse 21, he said when he was baptized while he prayed. Picture this with me. So we're seeing Jesus being baptized on the Jordan or the banks of the River Jordan, and somehow he took that moment being baptized for prayer. Jesus was praying right there at his baptism. You see, friends, prayer is the foundation of anything that we do. In our lives, if we want to grow, then we must spend time in prayer. Some time ago, years ago, you know those towers? Looks like New York to me. Yeah? So these are the Twin Towers. And are, or were, you know, now they're not as they were. But there's some story behind the Twin Towers that I like very much. And while they were preparing years ago to build the Twin Towers, one man was walking close by to the site and noticed that they were digging, excavating to start the operation of the Twin Tower or the building of the tower. Now, while he was there, he noticed something that was going on. As they excavate or dig, they were going deeper. They were deeper and deeper. And as they dug, this man wondered, why are they going so deep? Why are they digging so deep? Do you know that the Twin Towers, do you know how many stories there were? How many stories high? Anyone? Over 100. Yeah, there are a lot of stories going up, right? And by the way, I've been to New York, and when you try to look at them, you would fall on your back. Just trying to look at the top of them, and you're going up. So they're really tall buildings. But this is a factor right near here. This is the thing. This man was amazed that they were going so deep. The story states that they went down 60 story deep. 60 story deep in order to get the towers so strong and planted, because actually the towers, they would swing if it's a windy day. They actually swing, but because they're so deep, it's like a coconut tree, you see? A coconut tree may move a lot, and in the storm, I'm from Jamaica, so I've seen a lot of storms. And the coconut trees, they will do like this. In fact, I was caught in a storm. I wanted to tell Clayton last night. When he said storm and the rain, I'm like, Clayton, you really don't know what's a big storm. You know, standing in the rain and it's just raining and the water's coming. That's a nice, drop of rain. But when we talk about heavy storm, I'm talking about your roofs flying all over the place. And I've been through that. I've been on the coconut tree in a storm, and it was literally like this. To and fro, but the roots of the coconut tree is so firmly rooted, it won't move, it won't fall very easily. And so this is what was going on while they were excavating there, laying the foundation. This man didn't understand what they were doing because, you see, they were planning to go so high, that's why they needed to go so deep. Now, can we compare that with our Christian walk? If we want to go so high, friends, it means that we need to go deep in the Word. It means that we need to bow low, be on our knees, seeking God every moment, because that's the only way that we're able to reach the height of Christianity. And so, this man noticed they went so deep, and it's all because they were planning to go so high. So the prayer life of Jesus. I'd like to look at some principles from the prayer life of Jesus with you. Firstly, Charles Spurgeon, I like a lot of his quotes, by the way. This one I like very much. It says, a prayerful church is what, everyone? A powerful church. So God wants, or God would have his church to be a powerful church, but that power won't come unless this church, or whichever church, is a prayerful church. And that's how power comes to the church of God. The early church, the apostles, they were bathed in prayer. Every action, every movement, whether it be that they were seeking to do something for God, they were bathed in prayer. Whether it be that God did something for them, they were praying, giving thanks and praise unto God. And so prayer is the constant vibration that will bring down the pillars of Satan's kingdom. Praise what, everyone? The constant vibration that will bring down the pillars of Satan. Without prayer, our souls are in danger. By the way, Charles Spurgeon puts it this way, whenever God determines to do a great work, he first sets his people to do what? To pray. And so we see Jesus was about to do a very important work in his baptism, and right away he started off with prayer. Don't miss that. And therefore, finally here, Spurgeon concludes, I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. And maybe I should stop this sermon and we have a prayer session and go home. I would rather teach one man to pray than 10 men to preach. You see, friends, many of us are excited about preaching. Many of us are excited that we are able to preach and want, you know, you find a young man or a young woman that is excited about God. They want to preach. They want to come on the pulpit. But rather, Spurgeon is saying, hey, let this man go to pray. Because the more you pray, the more Christ, God, injects his holy presence in us. Then you're able to preach. But what is most important? Prayer. What is prayer, by the way? Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Do you see? Prayer helps us to connect with God. Prayer is communicating, is talking to God as a friend, and that's the relationship God wants with us. You are here today. I am here today. What we need is that God wants for us, actually, to have that relationship where we're able to commune with Him. We're able to talk with Him as a friend. He wants that relationship with us. And so this morning, very quickly, perhaps you should take a picture, because as I said, I'm developing on a series. And therefore, perhaps we won't touch all of the points that you're seeing right now. I'm going to walk through them one by one, but take a picture so perhaps you'll remember these important points. 7 points on the prayer life of Jesus. Number one, prayers in filling power, or prayers in filling. We're going to break that down in a second here. Prayer gives us a new perspective. Number two. Number three, prayer gives divine guidance. In prayer, we receive encouragement from others. Prayer impacts the lives of others. And number six, intercessor prayer influences the decisions of others. And number seven, prayer's ultimate purpose. What is it? It's trusting in God. So these 7 points I find as I study through the book of Luke as it relates to the prayer life of Jesus. And so therefore, I'm going to walk through these in the book of Luke so we see how Jesus prayed and the importance of these points that happened actually in the life of Jesus. And if it happens to God, to Jesus himself, then we can ask God to give us that kind of experience as well. Are you ready? Let's go. Number one. Prayers and filling. Luke chapter 3, we read it earlier. We see here Jesus being baptized, Jesus praying, verse 21. Jesus being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which says, "Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So prayers in filling, Jesus being baptized, praying as he's baptized, and we see him receiving, or he's been filled with the Holy Ghost. You see, God knew that Jesus needed in filling, because just after his baptism, what followed in the life of Jesus? Do you remember? After his baptism, what happened? The temptation, that's right. He went on the mount and he was tempted by the devil. So you see, there was the in need for the infilling of the Holy Ghost so that we are able to resist temptation. God fills us so that, and in prayer, as we seek God, he fills us so that we are able to resist and battle against the temptations of Satan. So we really need the infilling. Prayers infilling, point one, is that God fills us so that we are able to overcome. Then we're going to look at Luke chapter 4. I'm walking through the prayer life of Jesus this morning. So Luke chapter 4, verse 1, look at what the Bible says. And Jesus, being what? Full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Do you see? So God knew what was going on. God knew that he needed strength, he needed power, he needed to be filled, and therefore he filled him. So as he went into the wilderness, he was able to deal with the temptations of Satan. What is the role of the Holy Spirit? How does the Holy Spirit help us here when we pray? The work of the Spirit. We're praying. We need the infilling of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit does for us. The Holy Spirit strengthens, sustains, and supports us. Watch this. The Holy Spirit encourages, enlightens, and instructs us. The Holy Spirit corrects, teaches, and fills us, beloved friends. So there are many things that sometimes we don't think about, but the Spirit is doing for us. We see that he strengthened Jesus when he needed it. We see that he sustained Jesus and supported Jesus in the most trying times. And that is our need for today. The Spirit give us courage, enlighten, instruct us, and also correct, teaches, and fill us with power. Fill us with power. And so Luke chapter 11 and verse 13, talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit. We're talking about prayers in filling. God fills us with his Spirit when we pray. Luke chapter 11 verse 13, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that do what? That ask him." God wants to give us the Spirit. He wants us to ask him for his Spirit. You know, parents that are here, I'm sure, as Norlin was saying, it is a great thing to give, you know, or to receive a great blessing. That's normal. We receive something, it's great. We feel good about it. But here, Christ wants to give us an amazing gift, and this is the gift of the Spirit. Just as our fathers want to give amazing gifts and husbands want to give gifts to their wives. One of my wife's love language is gifts, receiving gifts. And so I have to be attentive to that. I know she's excited, even when it's so simple, I wrap it up, you know. That's right. Oh, that's right. Just a little flower, Johnny. And she said, "Oh, yes, it. A little rose bush at the front of the house, and I'm coming from work. I remember, oh yeah, I got a little flower right there." So simple. Is that right, Adner? Come on. just a little flower. And I go in and she knows something is there and she's getting excited. Excited. A little flower. And yes, that's what the Father, just as how we like to give gifts, the Lord, God of heaven, wants to give us the gift of the Holy Ghost. So prayers in filling, when we pray and we dedicate our lives to God, He fills us with His Holy Spirit. Let's move forward here as time flees from us. So here we are looking at this beautiful quote from one of my favorite book, Desire of Ages. It says, only to those who wait humbly, don't miss those words, only to those who wait how? Humbly upon God, who watch for His guidance and grace is the Spirit given. So what are some factors here? Wait humbly upon God, number one. Watch for His guidance, number two. Guidance and grace. Grace is number three. So you are waiting humbly. I could talk about that for a minute, but we won't have time to go through it. You see, God is looking for the humble and contrite heart. And when that heart, with all sincerity, looks to God, or wait upon God, and watch for His guidance and His grace, the Spirit will be given to us. And He wants to give us His Holy Spirit. Number three. So, prayers in filling, number one, we see this in the life of Jesus, that as He prayed, Christ filled Him, God filled Him with the Spirit. Number two, prayer gives us a new perspective. You see, we have many perspectives in our lives. We have many ways of looking on things. Sometimes humanly, I just remember there are times where an executive committee meeting in this institute and Connie would say, shall we just pray? And she's so calm in her voice. Shall we just pray? Yes, we need to pray. So prayer gives us a new perspective. Sometimes we want to make a decision. Sometimes we're thinking about what's the next step to make in our lives. And we have our perspective. We have our points. We have our own thoughts into things. But as we pray, how many times have you prayed? You had your own perspective. You had your own thoughts. But when you prayed, you realized that God led in another direction. Do I have a witness this morning? Several times that have happened to me. I'm thinking about something. I have my own perspective. And things change just after prayer. I remember years ago, Louis, I think you were down there with me. I worked in the Dominican Republic some years ago. And I remember it was Friday. So we were in this institute similar to this, a little smaller. And we didn't have electricity nor running water. We would need to get our water from a well. And the well was not connected to the buildings or anything. So what we would do is we go to the well, we put a generator, and we pump water sometimes into large barrels, and then we're able with a tractor to take this around the campus. Real primitive stuff. So I remember one Friday, so it's Friday, we want to fill up all the tanks, we want to get everything ready, right? And so it seemed as if Satan knows and he attacks us more on Fridays, at least in my experience. And so Friday, everything is going well, and I drove the tractor down there, I got the generator on the ground, and I connect the generator, trying to crank the generator, and it wouldn't budge. But you see, this is the thing with prayer, as we were saying, giving us a new perspective. So I'm there, I'm trying, and I'm pulling nothing, not getting anything. This is about 3, 4 p.m. And it's not like here in the summer when sun is setting almost 9 p.m. No, sun is setting about 6 o'clock, minutes to 6. So I'm filling up the last things I needed to do here, fill up, and we're ready. It's Friday, Sabbath is on. And so I was there struggling, friends. I struggled. And you know, it's hot and humid. I was sweating. I'm sweating. I'm trying to start. I literally dismantled the generator. I opened it up, checking everything. Battery, poles are good. Everything is good. The little that I know about mechanics, I'm checking and doing everything. I say, but everything looks good. I put it back together, Adner, and I went at it again, and I was sweating, and I was going. Friends, I'm not kidding. I'm there for maybe 40 minutes, Leonard. I'm going at it. All that I can. And it wouldn't start. The generator wouldn't start. I'm almost crying now. I'm out of it now. I'm like, we need this water, you know. We need to get things ready. Why? And I looked up. I said, why? And as I looked up, it's like the Lord said to me, why you didn't pray? And as I looked up and I'm saying, why? And I just fell on my face, you know, literally. I just fell down. I said, oh, Lord, forgive me. I've been here going at it. My own perspective, my own thinking. Oh, yes. And I could check the battery and I think I knew it. And I'm going at it. The Lord said, why you didn't pray? Look to me and be saved. And so I said, oh, forgive me, Lord. And I stopped. And I prayed, Lord, please help me. I don't know what's going on with the machine. I've done everything, you know. Prayer should never be the last resort, beloved friends. And I've learned over and over, should never be the last resort, but should always be the first priority. And so I prayed and I asked, Lord, please help me with this generator. You wouldn't believe it, but I'm telling the truth as it is in Jesus this morning. I finished praying and I did this and it was gone. The generator was running. I said, Lord, look at me, such a fool. The generator was on. I got the water and I was excited, praising God. And that evening I just went home and just reasoning with the Lord. Lord, sorry, you know. So many times I don't ask you first. I tend to try to figure it out. My own perspective, and then I come to you. Please help me not to do that, Lord. Help me to seek you first. As it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen. And that is what God wants for us. So prayer gives us a new perspective. Somehow we were thinking on something else, but prayer changes things. Look at this. But so much, Luke 5, so much the more went there a fame abroad of him, talking about the fame of Jesus, and great multitudes came together to hear him and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And he withdrew himself into the wilderness and prayed. Now this, the first time I read it, I wondered what was going on here. So Christ, Jesus was doing an amazing work. He was helping and blessing people, and the multitudes now start to come. You would think that Jesus would want to say, wow, this is amazing. I have all these people coming. And would continue to just pour out and give more and bless them. But what he did, he withdrew himself. You see, Jesus knew that the power was not in him, but was in God. Jesus knew that it wasn't about him, it was about what his Father can do. Jesus knew that some of the people were flocking him, not because they needed the power from on high, but they just needed a little earthly blessing. And you see what he did? He withdrew himself and prayed in the wilderness. Another thing that perhaps you haven't seen, and I was thinking about this, perhaps during this time, Satan was trying to pump up Jesus, you see. He was tempted in all points. Sometimes we read the stories and we don't think about these things. Jesus was tempted in all points. Perhaps Satan was trying to lift him up, or trying to, now all the multitudes coming to him. Now all the people coming, he's healing, he's blessing. Don't you think it's easy for self to raise up and come in the picture? Oh yes. That's why it happened to us all the time. Remember, Jesus was functioning as a human being. And therefore, it was so easy while he's doing all these things for Satan to whisper things in his ear, just as what he did on the cross. Come down, Jesus. Show your power. Satan spoke through the men there. They said, if you be the Son of God, come down. Save yourself. That's a temptation there. The power was from heaven where he could have stepped down. Temptation, you see. So here, while Jesus is blessing all the people, you would think that Jesus would just continue to be a blessing. Who knows? I don't know the fullness. But easily, you could see where perhaps Satan was whispering things to him and telling him how great he is for him to lift up himself. He withdrew himself and he went to pray. And we need to think about that. It is my prayer this morning that we will consider that any time that we're doing something good, any time that we're being a blessing, sometimes you may be a great singer, sometimes you may be a great therapist, you may be a great preacher, you may be somebody, something you're doing good, and it's easy for people to start to lift you up instead of just feeling so high in the moment. I would suggest this morning that we withdraw ourselves like Jesus and spend some time in prayer. Because it's easy for Satan to get hold of us. Number three this morning, prayer gives divine guidance. Prayer gives divine guidance. And now I'd like you to take your Bible. Get active with me this morning as we bring this to a close. Prayer gives divine guidance. Look with me in these verses. Prayer guides us. By the way, Luke chapter 6, and if you find some of these verses, just raise your hand. I'd like you to read as well so that you can be a part of our message this morning. Luke chapter 6, I have that one. Someone look for the others, please. And yeah, I'd like you to read. It says in Luke 6, 12 and 13, watch me. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to do what? To pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Verse 13. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Prayer gives divine guidance. Do you see what's going on in this passage? Before choosing the 12 disciples, Jesus spent all night in prayer. In other words, Jesus needed guidance on who to choose to walk with him or to be his 12 apostles. And so he spent all night in verse 12 praying, continuing, asking. And then the next morning, he made the choice of choosing these men. Before making decision, before trying to take care of some things, we see Jesus in his life, God gave him guidance, but what he did first? Spent time in prayer. Who has the next verse? Anyone with the other verses? Yes, sir. Please. Thank you so much. So here it's saying, direct my step or guide my steps by your word, okay? So that no iniquity. In other words, he's saying, guide me, protect me, shelter me, so that iniquity won't have dominion. How about Psalm 32:8? I love this one. Yes. With mine eye. That's right. Thank you so much. I will do what? What is... I will instruct thee, I will teach thee, I will guide thee. These are the things that God wants to do for you and for me today, beloved friends. He wants to teach us, he wants to instruct us, he wants to guide us. And notice it says, with his eye. So God is looking at you. God wants to guide you. And then we come to Psalm 48 verse 14. Who has it? What it says? Yes. Amen. He will lead us. So prayer guides us. Prayer leads us. When we pray, God then is able to guide us by the path that he would have us to go. So God wants us to depend on him every step of the way. Friends, today you may face some decision-making time. Today you may face some struggles that you're dealing with. Today you may be dealing with some very hard and difficult moments. I said, don't be anxious. Don't get carried away by thinking you're on your own. Just remember that God is there and he gives us guidance as we pray to him. Watch this quote with me. Our hearts will often burn within us as one draws nigh to commune with us as he did with Enoch. That one is Jesus Christ, God himself. Those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God will know, after presenting their case before him, just what course to pursue. And they will receive not only wisdom, but strength. When we really want to please God, those who decide to do nothing in any line that will displease God, we will know. We will know after presenting our case just what course to take. Prayer gives guidance. Prayer leads us on the path to take. And number four, it says, in prayer we receive encouragement from others. Have you prayed with friends before? And you feel the difference that rather than praying alone? Jesus did that. Jesus several times took Peter, James, and John on the mount with him. Peter, James, and John, he would take them with him, friends, to encourage him in prayer. Do you remember when he was suffering, he was struggling, and he said, hey, can't you watch with me for another hour? He needed the strength and the courage from others, and that's what we need, friends. There's a time to pray in the closet or to pray alone, the time when we need to deal with God on our own, but there comes a time as well when we need to pray as friends and as a body. God calls these people to pray because in prayer we also receive encouragement from others. There's a story that I like very much in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter 2, when the king had a dream and the king did not know the dream nor could remember it. And he asked his wise men, they couldn't either, but Daniel and his friends prayed. They all went to prayer and God revealed the thing to them. Beloved friends, let's never forget the power of prayer. I'd like to finish with this one. Because of time, and then I'd like you to go home and think about the other 3 points. But this one, number 4, says, in prayer we receive encouragement from others. Watch me now in Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 28. Let's see who was encouraging Jesus. It says, and it came to pass, about an 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter, who? James and John, and went up into a mountain to pray. Verse 29 and 30, it says, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. They could not see very clearly who he was anymore. It was altered the way he was. And his raiment was white and glistering. So it seems as if here now, it's almost a transfiguration. He's on the mountain there. And behold, there talk with him 2 men, which were Moses and Elijah. So these 2 men, we're talking about prayer. In prayer we receive what? Encouragement from others. These 2 men came down to encourage Jesus, you see. Jesus was going through the tough time of his life. He needed to go through, to follow through with what God asked him to do. To follow through and go all the way to the cross. And here Moses, a representative, actually, this is very prophetic. I like this because Moses and Elijah were 2 important representatives in the story. Moses was the one that representing those who would be raised from the dead and go to heaven. Because he died and he went down. And here I can see Moses saying, Jesus, follow through. Your father is with you. Follow through, Jesus. Don't be afraid. Your father decided that he would strengthen you along the way. I can see Moses saying, as you die for these people, yes, they will be resurrected. For those who have died in the faith, they will be resurrected. They will be with you in the kingdom. And I can see Elijah representing those that will be alive at the coming of Jesus. When Jesus comes, there will be those that will be alive. And those people will also be caught up with Jesus in the air. And so these 2 men motivated and encouraged Jesus in his toughest times. In prayer, we receive encouragement from others. Do you need encouragement today? Do you need Jesus to do something special today? He's only a prayer away, the song says. I love that song. He's only a prayer away. And so I want to leave with you this morning these important things. That Jesus, through the book of Luke, we see his prayer life. We see that God filled Jesus with his spirit at his baptism. We see that Jesus knew that the struggles were going to come upon him. He was needing the strength to deal with the issues. And he never neglected to pray. What are we needing today? What are some of the things that we're longing for Jesus to do for us? Let us remember, it is not about us. It is not even about the hopes that we have. Sometimes we have great hopes. We have great things that we are thinking of. But actually, Jesus has another plan. And I want to encourage you today, because sometimes we think our plans are the best, but Jesus actually has the best plans for our lives. And throughout the Bible, you see the importance of a prayer life. Even though Jonah was running away from the gospel message, was running away from preaching the gospel that God wanted him to preach to the Ninevites. But when he was down in the depths of the ocean, in the belly of the big fish, as the Bible calls it, he prayed from the depth of the ocean. And through prayer, can you imagine, God spoke to the fish or something? And he took him close to the shore and just threw him out. You know, I think the fish couldn't deal with the hypocrite anyway. He vomited him out. But Jonah prayed in the depths and God delivered him. We see Daniel. In Daniel chapter 6, he was there cast in the lion's den. And while he was there, Daniel prayed and God took him out. The lions were like little kitty cats for Daniel. Come kitty, kitty, come kitty, meet you, meet you. Daniel, the man of God, with the lions. But God delivered. All through the Bible, you will see the men of God and women of God as they prayed. Don't forget Esther, that she was in a tough situation. And she prayed and fasted. And as she fasted, she asked her people to pray as well. And she did the thing that wasn't supposed to be done, going before the king unannounced or uncalled. And she went in. And when she went and declared the matter, God worked, because Esther was a woman of prayer. And so this morning, I encourage us all that as we look to God, as we think about what God wants to do for us, remember, Jesus, his life was a life of prayer and dependence upon God. And the more we do that today, no matter what we're dealing with. My heart was moved when I heard the story of our sister that with COVID and all these other distresses, right? All these other things that are going on. But we can stay firm, stand firm in Jesus. Stay strong, because we have hope and courage in Jesus Christ. And we are told that though we may be cast down, but we're not destroyed. We're troubled on every side, Paul says. In distress, but not out. And in all that we go through, let's remember that our Savior has given us the example. And as we follow our Savior, we will always see the blessings of God in our lives. May God bless you. And may God keep you and give you His grace as you maintain your connection with Him. Prayer never fails. God bless you.